Chapter 21. Ulinor, Temple Gargant Sanctum. Survival begets sacrifice. How long have you sat immobile, my father? They speak in your name and know nothing of your mind. Is this what you wanted? I cannot countenance such a thing. It is a travesty of the imperial truth, the epitome of all that we wish to vanquish. Venal, selfish, corrupted. Did we not show the way brightly enough? Did our blood not wash the wounds clean? Why do you not speak out? Father, why have you forsaken me?
The great beast must die, whatever the cost.
The last words to leave Odenathus's lips were painfully prescient. The great beast threw out a flame-wreathed fist, and a blast of power smashed into the Ultramarine's chaptermaster, smearing his remains across several meters of granite. For a couple of seconds, Cordon couldn't drag his eyes from the droplets of molten armor and the stain of blood grease that had been his fellow commander. All that he was, all that he might be, had been ended with contemptuous ease. Corland looked again at the great beast, a manic laugh threatening to burst free as he considered the impossibility of taking on such a foe.
Destroy the generator, snapped Vulcan.
He stepped past, hefting Doom Tremor in one hand.
Orcs love to fight. I'm going to give the great beast exactly what it wants.
The tone of the Primarch left Corland no choice. A command that reached into his heart and head and could not be gainsaid. Even had he the inclination to defy Vulcan, he had no time. The gene father of the salamanders threw himself at the gargantuan orc, his hammer a blue star against wreathing clouds of green fire. At Corin's command, the remaining space marines poured fire into the arcane technology of the reactor. Bolts, volkite flares, and melter bursts rippled across the screen of shimmering energy that covered the mass of machinery surrounding the great beast's throne. The green curtain broke into constellations of small stars, rippling and surging with energy flux.
More!
Roared Corland, loading a new magazine into his pistol. The juddering snarl of assault cannons and bark of bolters drowned out the boom of Doom Tremor striking the great beast's armor, and the shriek of power claws raking across Vulcan's warplate. The converging fire of the task force was a near-solid stream of energy and metal. The reactor field writhed and buckled, building to blinding intensity, but did not break. Vulcan and the great beast reeled to one side and then the other, smashing titanic blows against each other. Sparks and lightning fountained from the plate of both warriors. Their movement exposed the thrown alcove of the reactor.
There is another way, declared Valafor.
He dashed past the melee between the two behemoths and slashed his sword against the brute shield. Green-black energy flared, throwing the Blood Angel 20 meters, his plate ripped apart. Corlin suppressed a cry of woe, his grief tempered by a slight movement from the crippled Blood Angel.
He still lives,
one of Valafor's warriors declared, kneeling beside the fallen hero. How long do any of us have? Corlin wondered, looking at the ongoing struggle between the great beast and Vulcan. In the presence of such demigods, what worth were the efforts of simple mortals? Taking up Doom Tremor in both hands, the Primarch ducked beneath the swinging strike from the great beast and threw all of his weight behind his next blow. The head of the hammer crashed against the thigh of the immense orc, the thunderous sound of the blow lost amidst a deafening bellow of pain. The great beast staggered, a lightning-tipped claw lashing out to rip across Vulcan's chest, peeling apart the outer layer of his plastron. The great beast recovered almost immediately, warding away the Primarch's next blow with an upraised arm. It kicked hard, a monstrous foot connecting with Vulcan. The impact sent the Lord of the Salamanders spinning away, his chestplate buckled even more.
Target the orc!
Shouted Thane, turning his weapon on the great beast. The fusillade of the Space Marines engulfed the warlord with the same intensity as the reactor, and with similar lack of effort. Vulcan staggered to his feet, ripping away his broken plastron to reveal a layer of banded armor beneath. The great beast turned to face the Primarch. It raised a hand and beckoned mockingly with a finger.
Lord Courland!
Vulcan circled, moving his hammer to the left, then the right, adjusting his stance constantly to mask his next attack. The great beast stepped and turned, keeping the Primarch and Space Marines in view.
My lord!
Courland advanced, weapons at the ready.
Leave! If I cannot end this here, none of us can. I know what to do, but it will be the end of us all if you stay. You must survive. You are the Imperial Fists, the last wall. And you are Lord Commander. Do not let the High Lord squander our victory, nor make vain my sacrifice.
Over the crackle of the generator and the thud of the great beast's steps, Courland could hear shouts, orc and human, echoing along the outer wall. The sound of gunfire and crashing blows was almost in the hall itself. He looked at the Primarch, and then to the immensity of the great beast. Could Vulcan possibly prevail? And he remembered Vulcan's assertions since the beginning. Faith, belief, the importance of symbols. He, Courland, was the sole survivor of Ardamantua, the Lord Commander and heir to the likes of Dorne and Gilliman. And he realized that Vulcan had known this moment would come from the time he had first heard of the great beast. An immovable object required an unstoppable force to match it. Neither Primarch nor Warlord could prevail. But that was not Vulcan's plan. Courland looked at the Primarch, his massive frame rendered to mortal proportions by the immensity of his foe. It was more than size alone that gave Vulcan his power. Into him the Emperor had put every artifice and effort to create the most sublime warrior, a figure of imagination and myth as much as brute strength. Intellect beyond Courland's understanding guided that power. A mind that had witnessed all of the glories and horrors of the galaxy through nearly 2 millennia of constant war. A warrior who had seen his gene sons slaughtered by their battle brothers, who had taken up arms against his own brother demigods for the Emperor. What could Courland know of an immortal's mind and reasoning? Vulcan perhaps sensed the attention of the Lord Commander. He looked at Courland with eyes that had seen more than any other human soul. What was it Courland saw in them? Pain? Yes, but not of the physical kind, not from the marks upon armor and flesh. It was the agony of wisdom, an ache of many centuries. And in that gaze, Courland came to know what Vulcan had always known, and saw the intent of the Emperor's last loyal son. The great beast roared, a deafening wall of sound matched by a flare of power rippling through the generator crackle. The glow of the warlord's claws brightened and became flames. Vulcan swung his hammer again, fending off the next blow. A tempest of sparks erupted where weapons clashed.
All forces, evacuate the objective, Courland announced over the command box. Immediate fighting withdrawal from the Temple Gargant.
Most of his companions started towards the doorway. The Blood Angels heaved up Valifor and carried him from the chamber. A score or so of the Space Marines stayed where they were. Black Templars. Beaumont moved in the opposite direction, blocking Courland's path.
What fresh insanity is this?
Spat the High Marshal, barely audible over the tumult of Vulcan and the great beast.
The Lord Primarch needs us.
He does not, Courland answered calmly. He stepped to go past the Black Templar. Beaumont grabbed the Lord Commander's arm.
We swore to die for the Emperor. We do not retreat. We are not cowards.
Courland's fist hit Beaumont square in the faceplate. The blow knocked the High Marshal crashing to the floor. The other Black Templars took steps towards their commander, blades and bolters raised.
I am your Lord Commander!
The rage boiled from Courland, allowed free vent after so much loss and frustration. No more could he withstand the jibes and barbs of the Black Templar's scorn. The endorsement of the Lord Primarch was enough. Courland no longer cared for the affirmation of Beaumont and could certainly not spare the thought or effort required to continue seeking it. He pointed the tip of his blade at the downed warrior.
Refuse me again, and your life is forfeit by my hand or word.
Beaumont lay where he had fallen, shamed. Courland turned his back on the High Marshal. and strode away.
If you want to die, stay here. If you want to serve the Emperor, come with me.